Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Conversations with the Citizen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with the Citizen. I'm your host, Catherine, and I am here today with Vaughn Bryant, who is the Executive Director of Communities Partnering for Peace. Welcome, Vaughn.
Nice to have you. I mean, nice to be here. Sorry.
I guess, you know, like I do with everybody, I want to just start with the basics.
Yeah.
What is Communities Partnering for Peace? What are the goals, the mission? You know, what do we need to know to understand this organization before we move forward into the deeper stuff?
Right. So actually, Communities Partnering for Peace is a collaborative made up of 9 organizations, including Metropolitan Family Services. And our goal is to reduce violence in Chicago. It came to be through an RFP process that we put together based on basically the best thinking across the country and in the city that our partners did to sort of come up with the framework. And then so we, you know, ran the RFP process with the 9 neighborhoods and people applied. And, you know, that's how we formed the collaborative.
And so these 9 neighborhoods, mm-hmm. accompanied with 9 organizations. How were they chosen? Did they kind of come together and do this, or was there any kind of like a weeding out process?
Yeah, so for the RFP, people applied for, you know, multiple communities, or there might have been, you know, multiple organizations that applied for a particular community. So we had a committee that was made up of people who weren't part of Metropolitan Family Services score the applications. And, you know, that's how we just kind of went with the organizations that scored the best. It's important to note that there's organizations that have been doing this for years prior to. So you might have heard of Ceasefire or Cure Violence. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing this for, you know, a lot of years in Chicago. And really, street outreach has been done in some way since, you know, probably 1940s, 50s. So in more recent times, there was state funding and some private funding that had been going to organizations that were under the Ceasefire umbrella. And this initiative is a bit more comprehensive and borrows from what happens in L.A., in New York, Rhode Island, and even some more of our newer trends like, you know, being trauma-informed and restorative justice. Those are things that are added to the mix now. So the practitioners that have been doing the work, they all kind of started meeting back in 2016 when we had the record year of gun violence to figure out what more can we do, what can we do differently, or what are other people doing that are having success doing this work. And that's where the more comprehensive framework came to what is now Communities Partner for Peace.
And so I did want to just highlight a couple organizations and neighborhoods that Communities Partnering for Peace is working in, just neighborhoods that we at The Citizen follow pretty heavily,
mm-hmm.
Which are going to be, you know, you have UCAN from North Lawndale,
mm-hmm.
Breakthrough from East Garfield Park, the Inner City Muslim Action Network, which is working in West Inglewood, and I think, you know, kind of just Inglewood as a whole, and then also the Target Area Development Corporation in Inglewood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are all organizations that I'm familiar with just through my work, mm-hmm. neighborhoods that I'm familiar with through mm-hmm. my work, but I wanted to hear from you, you know, just like how these neighborhoods were chosen to focus in, which, you know, I can assume the answer, but, mm-hmm. You know, what is it really that's happening that needs to be addressed or that is better addressed collaboratively?
Yeah, so those communities were chosen just based on the data. Like, the data will tell you that all of those organizations fall within the top 15 in terms of total gun violence and shooting rate per capita. So we have like a, you know, sort of combined score of that. And, you know, that's how you know which communities need the help the most. You know, what is unique about those communities? I mean, they're black and brown. I think there's no secret that there's a history of housing discrimination and, you know, sort of systemic oppression in the city of Chicago. And so that has happened over the course of decades. When you have disinvestment, you know, not a lot of commerce, you know, people leave those communities. And in order to survive, people turn to the illegal economy. And then when you have access to guns and poverty and illegal economy, then you know what you have. So if you were to look at, you know, violence across, you know, our peer cities, if you took out the gun violence, then we're pretty much the same. The guns are really what make Chicago unique when you compare it to other cities.
And so why do you think it's valuable to be for these organizations to be collaborating? Because, I mean, they all are doing amazing work independently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what difference does it make to be able to kind of like lean on each other? Or
yeah, because violence travels. Violence is not necessarily set to a particular neighborhood. So there's sort of anybody that's from Chicago, you know, it's a city of neighborhoods. That's part of the culture and DNA of Chicago. So in order to do the work effectively, you have to consider that in your strategy. So one thing that's important is that for the organizations we work with to be indigenous to that community, because that makes the community feel better and there's a level of trust there. But in order to effectively attack the problem, people have to work across communities. So that means that outreach workers in Englewood and West Englewood need to collaborate. And then, you know, if we want to go to Chicago Lawn or if you're going to Auburn Gresham, you know, the same players are probably involved and they could be, you know, conflicts could cross those boundaries. So from that perspective, to the extent that we're all aligned and leaking and communicating, you know, we are in a better position to resolve conflicts because, you know, we're collaborating in a way that, you know, conflict and just following the conflicts and that is not necessarily confined to your particular neighborhood.
And so where do you fit into all this? You know, as the executive director overseeing not really necessarily overseeing the work of these organizations, but they all have their own executive directors.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
So like, what's that dynamic really like for you?
Mm-hmm.
Leaders.
Yeah. So like, I like to say we're stewards of the work. Metropolitan Family Services is like the legacy nonprofit coming from the Chicago Fire. So, you know, Metropolitan has worked on the most difficult challenges this city has faced for a long period of time. Now, we don't have a history of doing street outreach work, but we do have a history of service in the community. And so there's a level of credibility that we bring and some systems and structures that we bring that are important to the work. So what I would say is that, you know, we have a shared leadership structure. The decisions are really made amongst the organizations. They kind of agree on the standards that they want to adhere to. And then we're really just supporting their effort to, you know, make sure that those standards are executed with fidelity across all of the community-based organizations that are part of the initiative. And so, and also thinking long-term about how we sustain the work, what are the other parts of the work that need to be a part of it, and to ensure that we do the capacity-building work to ensure that our community-based partners can execute on the work.
And Communities Partnering for Peace is funded partly through the Safe and Peaceful Communities.
Yeah, it's fully
funded.
But
that's not simply just their summer grant program. Right?
No, exactly. Okay. This is a year round initiative. Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the Peace Academy,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like its own kind of little space, like a unit within this collaborative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Effort. Tell me about the Peace Academy. Like, what is that all about? What is it? Where is it? Who's
mm-hmm.
it for?
Mm-hmm.
Everything I need to know.
So what it is a training apparatus for street outreach. So street outreach, like I said, has been going on for a long period mm-hmm. of time. And, you know, again, going back to Ceasefire and Cure Violence, they had trained guys, you know, for years on street outreach. What we've done is borrowed some of the best available science around this work and put together a 144-hour curriculum to really professionalize the work, meaning we want it to be seen as a legitimate profession that people can go into with that has a career ladder attached to it. And so one of our goals is to, you know, have a certification process, be able to earn college credit through city colleges, and really make it a substantial thing, because if there's standards of practice, then it's legitimized amongst the community members. So they know when they see, you know, Communities Partner for Peace, or they see the Metropolitan Peace Academy, or people who've been through it, they know what to expect from them. And then though we wouldn't necessarily say you know, we work with the police. The police have to know what we do. We have to know what they do. They have to be clear expectations because we work in the same space and we want to, you know, have a professional understanding and have clear roles around what we're good at doing and how we can play a role in preventing and intervening on violence and what the police's role is in this work. Because, you know, for better or worse, is not necessarily PC in our world to say this, but, you know, we have to, we're all part of the community and we all have the same goal and we have to, you know, play our roles and be cooperative with each other in order to get the work. Not that there's any animosity, but in order for us to have credibility, we can't be seen as working with the police. We have to be seen as working on the behalf of the people that are in the community and trying to help them turn their lives around and intervene before the police get to them. I think the police would prefer us to intervene first so that they don't have to bring the cuffs out or their things to escalate. And so, you know, so there's a role for us to play that, that works. And then if things get too far out of hand or people don't want to, you know, take the services that we're offering and they want to continue to live that life, then the police have no choice but to do their jobs as well. And we wouldn't stand in the way of that.
And so how do you, you mentioned, you know, a partnership with the city colleges. So I'm just curious, like, how do you get involved? What's the cost? Are there kind of like grants or incentives or any kind of freeness that comes along with being from Chicago in the same way that City Colleges does?
Yeah, so so one, the Peace Academy is housed at Kennedy King College. The participants come from the organizations that are part of Communities Partner for Peace. For the most part, we, and then we reserve some slots for people who do this work that may not be a part of our mix. So as of now, we've probably had people come from about 15 different communities and about 21 different organizations across the city of Chicago. And so we're really trying to build a network of outreach workers across the city, again, which if you have, you know, a large amount of peacemakers who are on the same page, who understand each other, and that, you know, these, this is largely a group of people who have turned their lives around, then it builds a level of momentum that's going to, you know, if sustained, you know, change the trajectory of our city, especially around safety, you know, over the next, you know, 10 or 15 year period. I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is that if you look at New York and L.A., they've been doing this for 20, 25 years. If I don't know if you're old enough to remember Rodney King, but they had a consent decree during that time that policing had to change, and they've been doing this work since then. So, you know, that's really, what was that, 1993? That's 26 years ago. So, so we have to understand this is not going to happen overnight. It's something that has proven to be a part of a mix that works over time, if sustained and supported. So, you know, we're at the beginning stages of that. And I think that, you know, the early sort of results around, you know, people sort of believing in what we're doing and the collaborative sticking together in the way that doesn't normally happen in Chicago is a positive thing. And we just need to continue to get the support we need to continue to strengthen the work and to broaden it to, you know, what I would say would be ideal is 25, the top 25 communities, and do that over a 15-year period and then see where we land from there.
Yeah, and that really is the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about, was just kind of your vision for the future of this collaborative, of the Peace Academy, of the work that you're doing, you know, like, not necessarily your end goal, but, you know, just kind of how do you see this impacting?
Yeah.
How have you seen it impacting, and what are you looking forward to seeing even more?
Yeah, so I would always say the goal is me and you. And what I mean by that is that people who are shooting today, they're, we want them to live like you and I. Like, they live, they get up, they go to work, make a living, they take care of their families. That's really ultimately the goal. And if we can do that at a high level, then we want to be seen as the safest major city in the world. Like, there's no reason why we can't be that. There's, you know, Chicago is a rich city in terms of its resources and its life and vibrancy. There's a lot of great things. We just need more people to be able to partake in that, you know, which means that they're living empowered lives and really living in their purpose and taking advantage of all that, you know, Chicago offers and all that, that life offers. Because we want to, you know, raise kids who, you know, if they want to go off and go to another city around the world, they can go do that. But that we create a supportive environment that, you know, helps people, you know, live, you know, their best life and live in their purpose. Mm-hmm. That's really the goal. In terms of how I see the work, and the goal for the work is really to make it as comprehensive as it needs to be in terms of doing the street outreach, doing the case management, continuing our place-based work, you know, just having events in the communities, but also, you know, layering in, you know, victim advocacy work, our hospital response work. Those are sort of ancillary pieces of the work that are critical to the work. So, you know, if somebody's shot, to be able to intervene outreach wise, to make referrals to the appropriate organizations, to make sure those people are, you know, not only taken care of in terms of their own health and their family's health, but make sure that we prevent retaliations, mm-hmm. and, you know, put them on the path, you know, to living that empowered life. We have, you know, a small behavioral health team, that hopefully bridges the shooting population to get mental health services in a way that we know historically doesn't happen. You know, we see that, you know, a lot of times these are adult men who are disconnected from our institutions. And once you reach a certain age, it's hard to reconnect. When you're young, if you're 16, you know, years old, then, you know, school is still an option, getting a GED. People are looking for you. There's a lot of resources there. But if you're 30, that's a different thing. And this effort is really to get to the shooters who are really disconnected and the most acutely at risk. And if we can turn that group around, you know, then there's less for the young people to look up to and look towards, because if this group moves in a different direction, then hopefully that turns the tide, mm-hmm. For our young people as well.
And so is there anything that, like, you know, me as a private citizen just kind of wanting to be helpful, not really knowing how, is there anything that people can do to support this effort?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you need?
Well, again, we need sustained support, both publicly and privately. People to educate themselves about, you know, the circumstances in Chicago, not only historically, mm-hmm. but even knowing everything that's available today, I think is important. You know, we work with guys, for example, with our JRT program, Job Readiness Program, and even, you know, subsidizing guys getting their GED. And, you know, some of them are like, wow, like, I didn't know this even existed. Yeah. So to the extent that people know that there are pathways out there and that there are people who have dedicated their lives to helping other people make their lives better, you know, that's something that, you know, every private citizen can do, is just educate yourself on what's available to help people, you know, live a better life. And then I would just say, you know, always being positive, not looking at, you know, people who are street involved as an enemy, but they're citizens of Chicago. That is somebody's, you know, uncle, brother, father, you know, which is no different than our family member. Everybody in your family is related to somebody, and to bring them along with positivity as opposed to, you know, criticism and judgment, because that just doesn't engage people in the direction that we want them to go. So even if you disagree with what they're doing, they are citizens of Chicago that that we want to be a part of, you know, the fold and to be in the legal economy and to live in a, you know, live a better life, because that just makes, when they're healthy and happy, then it makes everybody ultimately healthier and happier. So there's, you know, everything to gain by our city being less violent and everybody moving in the same direction in terms of, you know, just living in their purpose.
Perfect. So, you know, that really is the extent of the questions that I have for you today. If there's anything else that you want to share with me, or a closing sentiment that you would like to share, you're welcome to.
I think I'm good. Like I said, the goal is you and me, and for everybody to, you know, sort of live in their purpose. So.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Conversations with the Citizen, and we are done for today, but I will be back next week.
Remember to make plans to join us again next week for Conversations with the Citizen, the place where real news can be heard.